Until and unless that state of war is terminated, the Admiral continued, any Dalaran-flagged vessel is a legitimate prize of war, and even if for some reason peace should disastrously break out between us and Ranild, there's always been problems with piracy in the waters around Howard. I'd be astonished if some of those pirates didn't somehow manage to come into possession of some nice little schooners, possibly even with some of the new guns on board. The chuckles were louder this time. We're getting too far ahead of ourselves, Caleb said. He looked at Houseman. I'm inclined to think your analysis is basically sound, Edward. That doesn't mean things won't change, and we've seen for ourselves over the last 2 years just how quickly they can change. Still, I think one of the other points you made is almost certainly valid. Navies are expensive, but as long as we have one and our enemies don't, we don't need a huge army to go with it. So at least we can avoid that expense. And under the circumstances, I think we can count on being able to finance the fleet somehow. For now, at least, we can, Your Majesty, Ironhill conceded. The funds are there for the 30 additional ships Admiral Lock Island has under construction at the moment, at any rate. We can't lay down many more than that until we've launched the current vessels to clear the building ways, anyhow. But completing those ships is going to effectively finish the total elimination of the treasury surplus your father and grandfather had managed to build up before the current emergency. I understand, Caleb nodded.
Which, if Your Majesty will pardon me,
Lock Island said with greater than usual formality, brings us to the question of just what do we do with the ships we already have while we wait for the new ones. You mean besides keeping a lid on other people's privateers and making certain the church isn't able to land an overwhelming army to slaughter our people, burn our cities to the ground, and remove all of our heads? Caleb inquired mildly.
Besides that, of course, Your Majesty.
Brian, I'm perfectly well aware that you want to exterminate Prince Narmon. There was a slight but unmistakable edge of patient exasperation in Caleb's tone. For that matter, I'd rather enjoy the process myself. But the truth is that our own navy consists of less than 60 obsolete galleys and only 34 galleons, at least until more of the new construction comes forward and we get the damaged ships back from the repair yards. That's going to leave us stretched dangerously thin if we go after Narmon and Hector simultaneously.
Then let's go after them one at a time,
Lock Island argued with respectful stubbornness. And since Narmon is the closer, and since we're already blockading Erasta Bay, let's start with him. I think you're entirely right that we need to go after them one at a time, Caleb replied. Unfortunately, I also think Hector is the more dangerous of the two. Unless I miss my guess, it was his turn to avoid looking in Merlin's direction. He's already laying down and converting as many galleons of his own as he can. And if Blackwater's reports on our new artillery got home to him, he's going to know how to arm them effectively as well. He'll have to start from scratch with the new guns, but I trust no one in this room is foolish enough to think Hector is stupid or that his artisans and mechanics have been stricken with some sort of mysterious incompetence overnight. Narmon doesn't begin to have Hector's building capacity and foundries, so if we're going to go after one of them, we need to start with Coruscant, not Emerald. And then there's that little matter of the army we don't have. Taking islands away from Narmon and sealing off Erastor is one thing. Finding enough troops to put ashore to take the rest of his princedom away from him is going to be something else, I'm afraid. Lock Island looked moderately rebellious, and he wasn't the only one who felt that way, Merlin decided.
In Brian's support, Your Majesty, Wave Thunder said, don't forget who it was that tried to have you assassinated.
Caleb looked at him, and the spymaster shrugged.
He tried it before you and your father completely destroyed his navy. Now that he doesn't have one anymore, there has to be even more pressure to consider unconventional measures. If we give him long enough, he's likely to try it again.
Then it's just going to be up to you and the guard. This time Caleb did glance at Merlin, to see to it that he fails again, Benjamin.
That may not be quite as simple a matter as we'd all prefer, Your Majesty. In fact, that's part of what I want to discuss with you later, Archbishop Michael said, and all eyes turned to him. Before,
Narmon was forced to hire mercenaries, professional assassins, if he wanted you or your father dead, the Archbishop continued. Today, alas, there are far more potential assassins in Karis than ever before. Indeed, protecting you against Narmon's efforts to murder you may be the least of the guard's concerns. And that, Merlin thought, is probably an understatement, unfortunately.